Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study every day, usually 13, 14 minutes. But it keeps us in God's Word, and that's important for our faith, as we keep emphasizing, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We encourage you to help others in your life, whom you know, undoubtedly, who need to grow in their faith, who need to come closer to God, who need to focus more on their spiritual life, and who need to start paying attention to getting ready for eternity. Help them, perhaps even get to heaven, by sharing these studies with them every day through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. What a blessing that can ultimately be for them, but also for you. So start sharing today with everybody you can. We're going to bring our line of thought and study to a conclusion today. We've been asking the question, what makes a nation great? And again, we've said if you line up 20 people and you ask them all what makes a nation great, they'll give you 20 different answers. Now, some of them will agree on one or two or three, you know, points that they would bring out. Some would absolutely disagree with some of the others on some of the points they would bring out, but they'd go through a whole litany or a whole list of factors that they would consider to be necessary for making a nation great. Well, again, 20 different people, 20 different thoughts. What I want to ask, though, and what I've been asking in this particular study, is our nation, the country in which we live, the United States of America, is it truly a great nation right now? Well, from some perspectives, probably almost every one of us would say, well, yes, it is a great nation. But you see, our perspectives would have to be limited because there are some other perspectives that would, if we really stopped and gave it profound thought, we'd have to say, no, from that perspective, we're not a great nation. And ultimately, it boils down to morality, to godliness. And a whole lot of people, they would just want to discount that as a factor altogether and not use it as any kind of a standard for determining greatness of a nation. And when they did so, when they eliminated morality, when they eliminated godliness, and we could even get deeper and say when they eliminated the Bible, then they've eliminated the very basis, the very foundation, the fundamental determinations for what really and truly makes and keeps a nation great. And I have suggested to you through this study, we are, as far as that term greatness is concerned, we are going through a downfall. We're becoming less and less of a great nation because we are becoming more and more ungodly, sinful. I know a lot of people don't like that word, but it is a real word and it is a real principle. We're becoming less and less biblically focused in how we live our lifestyles and how we're shaping and guiding our nation. And that goes from our politicians, our government leaders, all the way down to the individual citizens. We're becoming less and less godly, less and less focused on God, if at all, and less biblically focused to try to understand what true morality, what true goodness, what true godliness really is. And when a nation ceases to be good, basically, fundamentally good, and you cannot be basically, fundamentally good as a nation without being basically, fundamentally godly. And when a nation ceases to be that, it can no longer be a great nation, and it is heading for its own downfall. And history only repetitively emphasizes that reality. I want today, as we close, and I know we've looked at a bunch of scripture texts through this study, but this is a Bible class, today's Bible class, and so we need to be focusing on what does the Bible say about whatever it is we're discussing from week to week. And in this case, what makes a nation great? I'm going to read some quick quotes. There are going to be quite a few of them here. But these are quotes from God's Word, direct quotes. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9 and verse 17. Now again, that goes right along with our base springboard text for this study. And that was, again, Proverbs 13 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Doesn't matter how large the nation is, doesn't matter how many people live in that nation, doesn't matter how strong they are militarily. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 13, verse 34. Another one. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Psalm 9 and verse 20. When we become arrogant and haughty and self-secure in our mindset, thinking, we're in charge, we can do it. Again, we're already on the road to our downfall. As an individual, person, or as a nation. Are we in that kind of position right now as a nation and as a people? The kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Psalm 22 and verse 28. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Psalm 66 and verse 7. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Psalm 67 and verse 4. Many want to determine their own standards of what they think is good, but societies are not a law unto themselves. Again, Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. And they cannot go about to establish their own righteousness. Romans 10 and verse 3. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 22 and verse 29. God has a genius plan to maintain righteousness on earth. He's given us his word to guide us in that righteousness. He ordained three institutions to carry out this purpose. First, the home. Genesis 2, verses 22 through 24. And we can read several times, several different scripture texts in the book of Deuteronomy about how parents are to raise, teach, and train their children in the way of godliness. And they are to do that diligently, every day, throughout the day, so they themselves do not forget God and his blessings and his care, but also that their children will not forget God and his blessings and his care. The home is supposed to be the most basic and fundamental and most powerful schoolroom for children growing up within that home. We send often, I think parents think, sure be glad when Johnny or Susie, when they get old enough to go to school, then they'll have to buckle down. No, not necessarily. And they're not necessarily going to be taught. In fact, they almost certainly will not be taught very thoroughly in the ways of godliness. That's your responsibility, Mom and Daddy. Remember Ephesians 6 and verse 4, speaking to fathers, but the principle certainly applies to parents as a whole. Train up a child. I'm confusing that particular verse with another one. But they actually go together. Psalm 6 and verse 4. You fathers, but apply this to parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or the instruction and discipline of the Lord. Are you doing that with your children? Because what happens in the home is going to be reflected within society and ultimately within the culture and even ultimately beyond that within our government leaders. Are you training up your children in the ways of the Lord? The government is a second plan from God, an institution from God, to guide us as peoples, as nations. We read from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, where government leaders are actually supposed to be ministers of God, not in the spiritual sense necessarily, but servants of God, workers for God to be leaders to keep their people, to keep the nations in the ways of righteousness. Are our government leaders doing that? Certainly not all of them. In fact, a great many of them we would look at and say, no, no way. And then the third institution that God has set into place to carry out his plan to maintain righteousness on this earth is, and a whole lot of people don't like this, it's the church. The church. God brought the church into existence on this earth in Acts chapter 2. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10, but the church is central to that. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it's his body, his spiritual body upon this earth. Those Christians who make it up, we're the body of Christ. We read that over and over again in the New Testament scriptures. And in Matthew chapter 16, he said, upon this earth, I will build my church, and even the powers of death, knowing he was going to die on that cross, not going to keep it from being established. The church is to carry the gospel, the pure message of forgiveness and salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ throughout the world. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Luke 24, 47, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The church, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, this is a saying that is worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. I'm sorry, that's chapter 1 and verse 15. To save sinners. And the church is made up of those sinners who have come to Christ in repentance and given their lives to him or to God through Jesus by way of repentance and surrender in baptism for the remission of their sins, thereby being reborn. John 3, verses 3 through 5. Acts 22 and verse 16. To be made new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, from a spiritual perspective. As people become Christians and live the Christian life, there's no way, as more and more people do that, that that cannot have ultimately a strengthening and upgrading of the culture of that nation. And to help move that nation into a true position of greatness. In every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10 and verse 35. We'd love to help you find your way to God through Jesus. You can contact us through our website at churchofchrist.com. churchofchrist.com. You can click on the email link and we can communicate back and forth that way. Or you can phone us at 402-498-8397. 402-498-8397. 8397. Let's pray. Father, guide us in your will and help us to be righteous so that we can live a life personally that will glorify you, but also that we can be a nation that will glorify you. Please forgive us, gracious Father, and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.